God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Picking up on that last hymn, which we just sang, the fourth stanza, the latter part of it, it says, "When all things seem against us to drive us to despair, we know one gate is open, one ear will hear our prayer." It was kind of funny, this was the same concept that in one essence, I was trying to teach the children on our Wednesday morning worship. The concept that, yes, God listens to our prayers. Now, think of it this way. If you take the hymn writer's words literally, which we're not going to do, one ear will hear our prayer, we must worship a God that has billions of ears then. Because one ear will hear our prayer. I don't think the hymn writer meant that in a literal way. But in the same way, I was trying to explain to the children that even though we can't hear if 15 people are trying to talk to us at the same time, so I was telling the kids they need to take turns talking to the teacher, but God is a little different than their teacher and the rest of us. God can hear millions and billions of people coming to him at prayer all at the same time. Not that God has a million or billion ears, but he is all-knowing. Almighty, all-powerful, he is there. And using the words of our text, as Paul says from Philippians, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is there. No wonder why Paul can say, rejoice. Why? Because the Lord is there. The Lord is listening. That's why Paul can continue his thoughts by saying, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now, I will admit that is a lot easier to say than it is to do, because we as sinful human beings, we like to worry. So what do you worry about? Do you worry about the big stuff? Do you worry about the little stuff? Or do you just worry about everything? Well, let me give you a true example of worrying about the little thing. This occurred on, actually, strangely enough, a beach where someone lost their car keys. Can you just picture, almost like the phrase, a needle in a haystack, car keys on a sandy beach? The chances of finding those car keys on a sandy beach are going to be very, very remote, but they had no other way to get home. So the person who lost the keys said, first of all, I'm going to pray to God and say, God, help me find the keys. One of the people in the party basically kind of responded, God doesn't care about the small things. He only cares about the big things. Well, Paul here begs to differ with that person. But in everything, everything meaning the small things and the big things. The end of that story was, yes, they did find the car keys on the sandy beach. They were able to get home. Yes, they were delivered. And yes, God does answer prayers. Maybe not always the way we want it. But let me just go back and say, God does care even about the small things. Too often we might think of God as being that busy person who doesn't have time for the small things. Because in one essence, that's how we experience other human beings. You know, they're just too busy. They can't handle 15 requests all at the same time, like a teacher in the classroom. Teacher needs one child to speak to them at a time. But remember, God is different. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. And as our text says, the Lord is at hand. He knows the very numbers of our hairs on our head. He is with us always to the end of the age. We shouldn't be anxious about everything, but bring everything to God in prayer. Our text for today, or I should say our sermon title, based on Philippians chapter 4, is Replacing Worry with Prayer. And we need to do that. And then the title continues, By Contentment. So how does contentment come in here with prayer? You see, too often as Christians, sometimes one of the things that inhibits us to pray is that we may say, Pastor, God doesn't always answer my prayers. In which we really need to rephrase that statement by saying, God doesn't always answer the prayer the way we want it to be answered. Likewise, for those of you who are parents, Christmas is coming. You know, do you always give to your child everything your child wants? What about what your child needs? There's a difference there. So, yes, I will admit, even as a little boy and I'm opening up Christmas presents and I see a pair of socks, wow, I didn't get too excited about it. I will admit, I'd rather have the toys than a pair of socks, but I needed clothes. I couldn't go to school or to church without clothes. Just not appropriate. But is that what I wanted? And if you had asked me, Pastor, what were some of the things you prayed for Christmas, it wasn't clothes. Yeah, I had my own wish list of toys and so forth. And yes, in one essence, some of them were realized, but some of them weren't. Oh, well. Can we be content when our prayers are not realized? Well, yes, if we understand this very important concept coming from the Lord's Prayer as we say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We take a look at God's love and His providence and He's there for us. But we realize that God's plan of salvation is for us to be with Him in heaven above. He is concerned about our faith. He's trying to grow a stronger relationship with us and Him. And sometimes the things that we want, our wish list of toys, would actually distract that faith relationship. God knows what we need because He is at hand. So we do need to replace worry with prayer by contentment. Now, again, this isn't easy. Paul notes that near the end of our text. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, or whether living in plenty or want. Here, guys, is the secret. He doesn't give the winning lottery ticket numbers, notice. That's not the secret. The secret is in that last line. The secret is not just get more money, because if you talk to people with lots of money, guess what? They still have problems. The secret is that last sentence. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. You see, the collection of toys, the checklist of our prayer list, is not necessarily the secret of contentment, but abiding in our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. That was the secret. Being content with what God provides. God knows what we need, just like a loving parent provides for their children. So God, as our heavenly parent, provides for us. It may not always be what we want at Christmas time. It may be what we need. God provides. The key here is to take the current situation we are in and ask Him for strength, going back to my beginning, to come to Him in prayer and saying, Lord, give me the grace, give me the understanding to accept what's happening in my life. You know I don't like it. If it's something bad, or if it's something good, send more of it. Give me the strength to live and to do Your will in Your way. This is how we can replace worry in our lives, of whether it be about the small things or about the big things, with prayer by contentment. You see, God does know all things. He is all-powerful. He is omnipotent, all-knowing, almighty. He is full of love. All the various attributes of God show us a loving, caring God, not a stingy God who wants us to suffer, but a God who wants us to be drawn closer to Him. So whatever is causing anxiety in your life, whatever is causing you a little worry, we ask God for strength, realizing that the hope we have is not in the things of this world, but the salvation we have through the forgiveness of sins in eternal life. You see, that is the main goal. And when we realize to serve our Lord helps us to get to that goal, it gives us a better level of contentment with the things around us. So this day we pick up on this epistle reading from Philippians chapter 4, and we remind ourselves that, yes, as our hymn also reminded us in that stanza 4, when all things seem against us, to drive us to despair, We know one gate is open. One ear will hear our prayer. We give great praise and thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for hearing our prayers, for strengthening us with His Word, and feeding us of His very true body and blood with that bread and wine. Again, we need His strength. We need His mercy. Our sinful nature is trying to tell us we can do it ourselves. God is saying, be drawn closer to Him. He's the one who feeds us. He's the one who gives us strength. And as Paul says at the end of our text, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.